Can everybody hear me okay? Still getting used to this little gadget. I kind of like it. Kind of gives me a little more movement around up here. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. By the Spirit, I will rise from the ashes of defeat. Let's pray together as we prepare our hearts this morning for the message. Jesus, we are so thankful, wow, for what you've done for us, the example that you've set for us, the hope that you give us, the sense that nothing can overcome us if we just hang on, if we just follow your word, if we follow your spirit. And Father, it gives us just a great sense of inspiration and hope and life and vision for what we can do and what we can become and who we can be and what we can resurrect from. Father, bless our time in your word this morning. Father, help it to inspire us as we look at him and what he did for us and the example that he sets for us. Please lead us and guide us by your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Easter. It's just great to be together this morning. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of like beautiful dresses and outfits, a lot of bright kind of Easter colors out there in the crowd this morning. It's inspiring. You know, as I drove up, actually my folks came up from South Jersey and they beat us to church. They came earlier than we did. I got here a little bit late, I must admit. But I kind of drive up and there's my dad. He just got a new car. It's kind of a sportsy car. And I drive up, it's a white kind of this beautiful car, and he's in there and he steps out and he's just looking all fine and all like strong and got his white shirt on, he's got his tie going, and I'm going, man, I gotta up my tie game big time. But my dad's 85 years old and he's still calling me higher. And of course my mom looks beautiful as ever. It's really, really fun to have them here this morning with us, you know, just celebrating. It's great. We've got some great plans today. We're going to have lunch together, and then Sue and I are driving up to UMass, up to Amherst, and we're taking Mackenzie and her roommate out for some Easter supper, and so it's really, really a special day for us. We love it. You know, I love this time of year. I love this time of year. You know, spring is just so inspiring. And even right now, it's like the tulips that I described a couple of weeks ago, the tulips outside our house in the front and the back that Sue planted around Thanksgiving, they like just kind of get up every morning, they like sing. It's like with these colors and with this exuberance, and it's kind of a great example for me. I love it because the tulips are inspiring me. The springtime is inspiring me, man, the colors and the radiance of the time, it's amazing. You know, it reminds us that life overcomes death. It reminds us that light overcomes darkness, that color overcomes black and white and gray. Why did God make things with such color and such creativity? I love it. Because God didn't kind of just sit back and make everything the same. He made every shape and size and design and color. It all works together. It's exhilarating. It's amazing. You know, spring reminds us that God's design overcomes the elements. It overcomes the circumstances. It reminds us that there's joy in life. There's things to celebrate in life. And oftentimes, they're just right there. We just got to see them. We just got to stop and smell the roses. Because I don't know about you, but it felt like for a minute there that honestly, winter was winning. And it felt like, man, are we ever going to get there? I start feeling that like January 3rd. And I'm like, are we ever going to get there? Is the springtime ever going to come? And I'm kind of a summer guy. I kind of like the spring and the summer. But it felt like winter was winning there for a while. It felt kind of like death. You know, the death that you kind of see around the world around you was winning. It was overcoming life. It felt like darkness was defeating light. It felt like there was like an hour of light during the day. Got dark so early, it got light so late. You know, I really believe that that's how it felt at the crucifixion. You know, I was with the campus on Friday night and they had me come in. I felt really honored just to come in and speak about the crucifixion. You know, the world around us celebrates Good Friday, you know, as a time of fasting and penance and thinking about the crucifixion, the death of Jesus. And I was talking to them about how, you know, it's even the word crucifixion is written with like an X right in the middle. And it kind of reminds me that the forces of evil were coming against Jesus so hard. And they were literally like just trying to X him out. They were trying to eliminate him. They were trying to take him out. They were trying to dominate him. They're trying to exterminate him. You know, it's interesting about the Roman government, because one word, I'm reading this book, and it talks about how one word describes the Roman government, and it's domination. The Roman government brought in this spirit of control and domination. And Josephus talks about in his histories that there is some times where there wouldn't just be one crucifixion happening or just a few, but there'd be thousands of people crucified. Jesus grew up in a time of war. He grew up in a time of domination by these forces that seemed like you could never overcome them. There was forces of domination. There was forces of hatred and fear and death and darkness. And it felt like to the Jewish people, it felt like to the people living in that day that darkness was winning, that winter was winning. When would life come back? What force could overcome this dominating force that was all around them, this fourth force of death, of darkness? It felt like it was triumphing. And sure enough, that's how it felt for people who saw Jesus crucified. I mean, there was real blood. There was real torture. There was real terrorism. There was real beating. There was real death. There was real crying out and pain and anguish. And Jesus was no different physically from the guy to his right and to his left. And Jesus was experiencing isolation. He was experiencing fear. He was experiencing pain of a degree that I don't know if we can even really understand it, because he came for a specific reason, and he was dying for us. He was setting an example for us. He was leading us. But people were mocking him and sneering at him and tearing him down. And they were saying he trusts in God and laughing at him, saying, look at him now. What an idiot. What a failure. He hasn't done anything he said he would do. Look at him now. And Jesus just hung there, just covered in blood, covered in welts, covered in sores, crowned with a crown of thorns to mock him and to hurt him. And then he died. And I'm sure for people around him in that whole place, there was just a spirit of defeat. There's a spirit of, wow, we had hoped for something different. And the dominating forces of the day seemed to take out even Jesus. Darkness covered the land. The curtain on the temple was torn in two. There was earthquakes. People who had died rose from the dead. There was this chaos in the spiritual world. And then there was maybe the most difficult part of this whole thing. There was silence. So Jesus died on Friday night, but there was silence all of Saturday. Jesus said he would rise from the dead, but he didn't. He was in the grave, and he was rotting there, and it seemed like he was just like everybody else. It seemed like death and darkness had won, and God wasn't even speaking up. They didn't know what was happening. And I'm sure there was a lot of confusion in the silence of that second day. But then the third day comes. And I want us to look over in Matthew chapter 28. Seemed like death was winning. Seemed like the old dominant forces were winning again. But then the third day comes, and in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 1, we read this. After the Sabbath at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He's not here. He's risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay, and then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." And so the women hurried away from the tomb, yet afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said, and they came to him. They clasped his feet and worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Wow. You know, it's interesting to me because Jesus doesn't change his nature, even as he comes back triumphant. He's still gentle and humble in heart. He's powerful. He's gutsy. He's tough. He's resilient. I mean, who else rises from the dead? Who else comes back from this kind of beating? And yet Jesus comes back and he says, "Don't be afraid. It's me." And I love the fact that the first people that he spoke with were the women. Honoring the women. Saying, "Hey, women, why don't you be the ones to go and tell the guys this time?" But it's Jesus. And yeah, he was disgraced. And yeah, he was beaten. And there was so much reason for him to come back angry and violent and treating others just the way he'd been treated. But that wasn't him. And that wasn't his message. That isn't what wins. What wins is love. What wins is compassion. What wins is forgiveness. What wins is grace. What wins is what we see in the spirit of Jesus. You know, when I was a kid, we had this massive garden. We lived up in Lafayette, New Jersey. We had this huge garden, lived kind of among farms. We had a few acres ourselves. And so planting became kind of a big thing for us. And it was really exciting to plant. But even before that, what we used to do is in the springtime, we'd get like sunflower seeds and we plant them in little cups and we put them, you know, on the windowsill. And I remember, you know, we'd plant these seeds and, you know, of course, seeds just kind of look like little rocks. They're kind of hard. They're usually kind of look like a little stone, like a little piece of dirt. And you're kind of going, well, how does this come from this? How does this even happen? And so you kind of plant the seed with a lot of faith. Hey, this is gonna grow. Just gotta put it in the soil, just gotta give it a little bit of water, and this thing is gonna grow, even though it looks like it's dead. And so sure enough, you put the little like sunflower seed into the cup, into the dirt, and you put it in there, you give it a little bit of water, try not to give it too much water and drown it, but you put it on the sill, and then you kind of wait. And you're kind of waiting right there to go, well, maybe this one will happen faster than the other ones. And you're kind of waiting for this seed just to kind of sprout and come up. It's going to be exciting and there's going to be music and it's going to be incredible. But sure enough, a day goes by and you kind of come rushing down in the morning just to check it out. And then the third day comes and you don't even check it out because you're kind of bored with this thing already. But then the third or fourth day, you kind of go back to check. And sure enough, there's a little sprout. And it's coming up from the water. It's coming up from the earth. It's coming up from the tomb. And it's being activated. And so it sends out this little sprout, and I'm telling you, that's when things get exciting. Because you go, wow, the future is bright. They kind of got through the tough part. And that's kind of what's happening here. Is Jesus got through the tough part. He was buried. It's kind of like us in baptism. Romans 6 says that literally when we're baptized, that we join Christ in his death and we're raised to a whole new life. That seed of greatness in us is activated. And whatever is happening there, it's joining the water, it's joining the nutrients, it's joining God's plan for it. And it starts a whole new life, and it comes out of the earth. And there's hope. And there's vision. And there's expectation. And wow, it's really happening. And that's what they must have felt. They had that, it says they were afraid, yet filled with joy. There's that sense of, this is amazing. We've never seen anything like this. You know, it's interesting because after that, Jesus spent 40 days with them. And it says he appeared to over 500 people. You know, it's interesting, in the New Testament, Jesus is never just raised as an idea. There's a lot of great ideas that come from Jesus resurrecting, but it was a physical resurrection. Jesus rose physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally. It was him. And he showed them the scars in his hand. He had been killed, and that had been witnessed by many, many people. But then he also gave convincing proofs that he was alive. And so when Peter got up on the day of Pentecost and talked about it, you know, in the very beginning of his message, he says, we are witnesses of the fact this happened. It hasn't happened ever again since. It hadn't happened before. It's totally unique. And Jesus is saying to us, hey, come follow me. I'll take you there. I'll take you to life. And he spoke about that over the next 40 days. He talked about loving. He talked with them about, you know, he inspired them. He comforted them. He ate with them. He was Jesus with them. He taught them. He connected with them. And he talked about the message that they were going to take to the world, a message of hope, a message of good news, a message of we can change. You know, one of the things I think is so important about the resurrection is that message. We can change. Because what the world says is, no, you can't. You can't change your spots. You are who you are. But Jesus comes along and says, no, even if you are dead and dying and buried, you can change. That there's hope even in that place. I love the testimony, you know, of the brother, you know, this morning that we saw in that video. He was in it. But even he could change. It's awesome. You know, Jesus came back with a message, there's purpose and meaning in our struggle. He came back saying, hang in there, God is doing something great. There's a message in there for all of us that we've got to grasp this Easter. We've got to grasp it for ourselves. It's a personal message to you. It's a personal message to me, because there's stuff in our life that's taking us out. There's stuff in our life that feels like it's winning. And we got to go back with the attitude and the spirit and the wisdom of Christ to say, no, you're not going to win this one. I love those t-shirts that say, not today, Satan. I love that. I just think kind of the spirit. Not today, Satan. I'm coming back. Look over in John chapter 12, and we're going to finish here. John chapter 12. Jesus came back with compassion. He came back with vision for us. He came back with forgiveness. He wasn't holding it against us. He came back with a message for all people of all nations and everywhere. He came back with good news. You know, in John 12, we get a little bit of a taste of what he was feeling before all this happened. Because often we think of Jesus as sort of the Teflon Jesus. You know, he wasn't affected by things. He just kind of got through it. He knew kind of the ending of the story. And so it was easy for him, which wasn't the case at all. In John chapter 12 and verse 20, it says this. Now there were some Greeks. This is kind of as Jesus starting his journey towards the cross and towards the resurrection. Verse 20. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. And Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip went to, in turn, told Jesus. Jesus was becoming quite the celebrity. They wanted to touch him. They wanted to be near him. They wanted to see him. So these people come from far away, and they want to see Jesus. And Jesus, though, is going through some stuff that he needed to pay attention to. And in verse 23, it says, Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." Now listen to this. Jesus says in verse 27, "Now my heart is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." No. It was for this very reason I came this hour. Father, glorify your name. And then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd that was there said they heard it and that it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus was wrestling with the kernel of wheat falling to the ground and dying. He was that sunflower seed that wanted to just kind of stay a cool sunflower seed. Because that process of being buried, that process of dying to yourself and cracking open and finding that potential inside of you, that reason that you were born, that reason that you were created, that you were designed by God, who has greatness and awesomeness in mind for all of us, that's a scary process. And it's very intentional. You have to decide it. You have to choose it. You have to go for it. And he's saying, "So what shall I say? I'm troubled. I'm struggling. Shall I say, Father, save me from the very reason I was born? Father, save me from this hour." He said, "No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour." He said, "I want my life to be a glory to God." You know, we see God's glory, and we see God's power, and we see God's miracle in Christ. We see God's power, and we see God's miracle, his resurrection power, in the springtime all around us. But you know where it's so special to see God's power? Is in us. Is in you. And in me. And sometimes it just takes that sort of gut-wrenching decision. I'm going to lean into this thing. It's a little scary. I don't know how it's all going to play out. But I trust God. And he's going to take me there. And I want you to ask yourself, what is that thing? What is that fear that tends to hold you back? That tends to get you thinking, winter is going to win this one. Darkness is going to win this one. And I want us to all look back to Jesus and say, not today, Satan. With Jesus, I can rise from the dead. With Jesus, I can overcome anything. With Jesus, even this thing in my life can change. We just got to go back to how he did it, the faith that he had, the relationships that he had, the love that he had, the hope that he held on to, the wisdom and the truth that he held on to. And that's where our Jesus training comes in. It's not when everything's easy. It's not when everything's smooth sailing. It's when the storm comes. And so this Easter, today, let's believe in the miracle of resurrection. The resurrected life. Let's believe in the miracle of life, of love, the miracle of color, the miracle of wonder, the miracle of change, of transformation. Let's believe that God is working in my life. Let's believe that God is working in our lives, in our life team, in our community, in our church. Let's hear the message that Jesus is trying to say to us. Yes, we can change. Yes, we can overcome. Yes, we can make it through the Saturday of silence because the resurrection is coming. Let's put our trust in God's love. Let's put our trust in God's wisdom.
Let's put our trust in his resurrection process, his resurrection power. And let's say on this Easter together, it was for this very reason that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Thank you.